very much, and welcome all of you. As you know, always, we have the slides available both on Financial Hearings website and also on our Wihlborgs website. To start, we first have the slide showing the figures for the first 6 months, where we have rental income up 5% and operating surplus 6% up, and the profit from the property management is up to 9% and 491 million, and giving a result at the end of 18 kronor per share or 17.99. Looking at the second quarter only, we see that the rental income is 500 million flat, which is up 4%. We have operating surplus of 377 million, which gives us actually a surplus ratio of above 75%, which is extremely high. The income from property management is above 250 million this time, and we have quite a strong value uplift on the properties. It's above 1 billion for the quarter only, and that is, of course, because we have seen quite a lot of signs that the yields have had a quite strong compression, especially the two deals that Skanska did a month ago. Some negative changes on the derivatives, and which gives us a profit at the end of close to 1.2 billion only for the quarter. Next slide shows our 10 largest tenants, and they stand for 21%, and still the governmental tenants is 19% of the whole portfolio. Next slide is the net letting. We still see quite a strong letting market. There's a lot of negotiations everywhere, and we have this quarter plus 23 million. We've actually signed new leases of close to 60 million, which is a strong figure for only one quarter. It's mainly two big contracts we signed. One was with the Malmö City, 6,500 square meters on a 10-year lease. And the other one was Allo Media, who is moving their head office to Malmö, and another 3,500 square meters. Both those contracts are in existing buildings, which is being emptied now. Malmö City first for taking over Länsförsäkringar's building, the whole building actually, now when they are moving to Dockan. And also Allo is taking over quite a big portion of the space that Försäkringskassan is leaving at Erik Menved when Försäkringskassan is moving to Dockan as well. So, and we feel that the rental market in all the three Swedish cities is rather strong, stable. There is a demand for most types of offices. A little bit weaker in Copenhagen, though, but we are optimistic for the future also there. But at the moment, it is a little bit weaker than we expected. Next slide shows our historical net letting, which we are, of course, proud of. It's only the first quarter last year that was a mistake. But apart from that, it's quite good. Next slide shows our rental growth. First, the total portfolio, where you see it's up a little bit more than 7%. Rental income a little bit less because we have had an increased vacancy for this period. Like for like, we see up 1.6%. Actually, the rental growth is like for like. The rental income is, though, negative, and that is because Försäkringskassan is moving out from one building that's in the property management and moving over to a property that has been under development, which means that they are not in the figure of rental growth for like. That gives the negative figure on the rental income. But that is now being filled up again, with mainly Allo and a few other small tenants coming in during this year. We've been quite active also on the transaction side. Next slide shows how we have changed the value. We started off with 28.6 million in the beginning. We have bought a little bit, not so much, but 100 million. We have invested 520 million in the project and minus 520 in the sole assets. And that is only 410 is only for the second quarter. And we are now taking the advantage of the strong market and trying on, actually not only trying, but we are selling off some assets that are not in our core for the future. Of course, that affects also the income a little bit. Actually, we are losing about 5 million in the rental income because of those assets that we've sold during the second quarter. Then we have the value uplift, which is 1.3 billion for the six months, and then some Danish krone changes here, which gives us now an assets of about 30,161 million. That is divided on the portfolio as we see on the next three slides here. First, we have the offices, which ends up to close to 24 billion, yielding 5.1%. We have it all spread here with most of it is, of course, in Malmö with 11.8 billion and so on. Next slide shows the industrial warehouses, which is 4.7 billion, ending up at 7.5% net yield with a vacancy of 11%. Adding it all up gives us 28.6 billion, yielding 5.5%. On top of that, we have some ongoing developments and land, which gives us then the 30,161 million. Next slide is the map showing how the assets are spread over the four cities. You see Malmö is 49%, Lund is 19%, Helsingborg 22%, and Copenhagen is 10%. Now I hand over to Arvid to give you some more figures.
Thank you very much, Anders. We'll move on to slide 13, where you see a snapshot of the company as of end June. We are now 122 employees managing 268 properties with a lettable area of over 1.7 million square meters. The property value, as Anders mentioned, now stands at above 30 billion Swedish kronor. We have a rental value of 2.3 billion and a rental income of 2 billion flat, actually. The economic occupancy rate now stands at 91%. On the next slide 14, you see an updated list of the shareholders as of end June. There are no major changes. Erik Paulsson with Companies and Family still stands for 10.3% of the ownership. The foreign ownership has increased slightly versus last quarter and now stands at 41% of the total outstanding shares. Moving to slide 15 and looking at the income statement for the six-month period. Anders has already touched on a few of the numbers, but I just wanted to point out, first, the rental income, which almost reached 1 billion Swedish kronor, was up 5%. The operating surplus, excluding payments for lease terminations, increased by 6% to 731 million. The net interest cost was virtually the same as in the same period 2015, despite a higher debt, as we'll see on the following slide, giving us an income from property management of 491 million, which is up 9%. The value changes in the six-month period was over 1.3 billion. We have, during the second quarter, had a closer dialogue with our external valuers than usual in order to validate the value changes that we've seen during the quarter. Interest rates are continuing to move downwards, not the least the last days around the end of June, which means that we had a change in value of derivatives over the six-month period of -527 million, giving us a pre-tax profit of 1.3 billion and a profit for the period of 1.4 billion. Looking at the balance sheets on slide 16, you can see if you compare with the status 12 months previously, that the property value has increased by 5 billion Swedish kronor, and at the same time, equity has grown by 2.3 billion to 9.9 billion Swedish kronor. And the borrowings now stand at 16.6 billion, up 2 billion kronor versus 12 months previously. That gives us the key figures on slide 17. We now have a stronger balance sheet than we have actually ever had, with an equity assets ratio of 32% and a leverage which is now down to 55.1%. Still a strong interest cover ratio of 3.2 and a good surplus ratio of 73%. Looking at equity per share, as usual, we show that in a few different formats. The most relevant we feel is probably the EPRA net asset value, which now stands at 172.33 kronor per share. And looking at the next slide, slide 18, you can see the development of that since 2009. And the increase or the growth in EPRA net asset value per share you find on slide 19. And that has actually, on average of the time period from 2009-2010, we've had an average increase of 18%. Looking at the loan portfolio on slide 20, as I mentioned, the total loans now stand at 16.6 billion, with an average fixed interest period of 5.1 years and an average loan maturity of 4.8 years. The sources of financing, as you find on slide 21, is 65% Swedish banks, 17% Danish banks, and 18% via the bond market. And in the bond market, as you know, we both have our own MTN program, where we, in our own name, can issue unsecured bonds. And we also use the jointly owned company, NIA SFF, via which we can issue secured bonds on the capital markets. On page 22, you see the deficit in our interest rate derivatives portfolio. We still have the same interest rate derivatives portfolio as we did a quarter previously. The low interest rates, as I mentioned before, have affected the value of these interest rate derivatives negatively. And the total negative value is now 1.4 billion Swedish kronor. And the change during the six-month period is over 500 million Swedish kronor. Important to note, though, that this does not affect cash flow immediately, but it does, of course, increase the average interest rate that we actually pay each quarter. So I'll end there and hand back to you, Anders.
Thank you, Arvid. I'll give you a few words about our development. We have so far invested 521 million in this quarter, in those 6 months. Last year, we ended up a little bit over a billion for the year, and we will end up approximately the same this year, which is around 1 billion. We have the remaining investments in the ongoing development is 900 million by the end of June. We have Gängkappen. Which is the first tenant is now moving in, which is Länsförsäkringar, and they're doing that during the summer. We have not succeeded to conclude the contract for the remaining space yet, but we are in negotiations with quite a few tenants. It will probably be a lot of smaller tenants going forward here. But as I've said before, it will be filled before the end of this year. The next development is going on well. This is for the tax authority and for Malmö City, which are moving in. There remains approximately 1,000 square meters to be leased in this total complex. And the development will be completed end of Q3 or maybe beginning of Q4.
We've also started two new developments during this quarter, which is Posthornet in Lund, just next to the railway station, where we are investing 347 million. We have nothing signed yet on the leasing side, but we have a lot of prospectives. I think we are talking to 60%-70% of the space we have negotiations at the moment. Next slide is Malmö, the same location, but close to the Malmö city instead, the railway station instead. Here we're investing 250 million. Also here we have some negotiations, but nothing signed yet. Both these developments will give us approximately 6.5% net yield at completion. We have also started just in the end of Q2, started a new parking garage in Dockan. This is to have some place to park all the cars that's in the space where there now will be built more residential space. We are investing 120 million here and getting a little bit over 400 parking lots for that. In pipeline to be started up, we have, first of all, we last week finally signed the lease, the contract with Domstolsverket, which has to be approved by the government. We have a contract with them saying that we shall now start to construct the first building, and then we will also refurbish the existing Tingsrätten. The investment is in approximately 200 million altogether, and here we will have a yield of 6.5% and a long contract with Domstolsverket. The next one is in Hyllie. We've been working with this for quite some time, and we are now getting closer to start. We believe that we will be able to start the end of this year or beginning of next year. 9,000 square meters office. It's a good location in Hyllie, just next to the railway station there. 9,000 square meters and 300 million is approximately the investment, and we will have a net yield of 6.5% on that as well. The third one that we expect to start within the coming year is in Lund. We did win a competition, the architectural competition there about 2 years ago, but the planning process has gone forward slowly, and we believe that we will have a planning approval at the end of this year, which means we might start sometime during second quarter of next year. This is a hotel for the scientists that are working, visiting the ESS and Max Lab, and we will have it all pre-let to ESS and Max Lab before starting it off. This will be done with no risk. We also have an option to do the second development in this square, in this area. The location is just between the ESS and the Max Lab laboratories that are being constructed now. Investment approximately 200 million, and we will have a yield close to 7% on this development. To summarize this report is that strong letting again, increased rental income up 5%. We have a growth in the property management with 9% to 491, and we have a solid balance sheet with the properties above 30 billion and LTV on 55%. That ends my presentation, and I hand over for questions.
Thank you. As a reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, please press zero one on your telephone keypad. Our first question comes from the line of Jonas Andersson from Danske Bank. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, good morning. Yeah, I have a couple of questions. The first one is, yeah, the value lift is really impressive. When I look at it seems like most of it is yield compression, but you did finalize a project, and could you specify how much that is, the value of the project increase?
The project, the value lift for the project that is completed has been taken over the period, but I mean all the quarters that has been there before, and since the lease contracts were signed before. So during this quarter, there's nothing specially from that development, actually. What we've done, though, is that we've signed those two lease contracts with Malmö Stad and Allor, as I said. So some of the value uplift are coming from that, of course.
And didn't you divest some residential building rights as well? Did that impact as well?
We sold that with a profit, yes. That's also part of it. And I would say that the sale was sold for 400 million, a little bit over this quarter. So I would say from the value uplift, about 50 million comes from the sales we've done.
Perfect. And have you looked at the deals? You have, of course, the Skanska deals. And what kind of yields do you see in those deals?
The two Skanska deals were done, one in Hylje, which is what sold to Ikano. Yeah. And that deal is done around 4.25 net initial yield. And the second one in the city was sold to Folksam, and that is done close to 4.0, just above 4%.
Okay. Another question. I guess in the last quarter, in Q1, you said you would reach some 92-93% in occupancy ratio, and you haven't reached that. Is that coming now in Q3, or what is your take?
What I've said is that we will reach that in Q2 next year, I said.
Next year, okay.
That's what I said, if you listen to the presentation.
I'm sorry. Okay. Last question is the deferred tax. You have a positive impact of 130 million, and you say you have consolidated a company. Can you tell me more about that?
That was a company we had together with Fabege and Peab, that is the old SFF. A company that we had one third each on, and since we couldn't use that more in that construction as it was before, we decided that one of us should buy it out. So we did a deal where we bought out the other two parties during this quarter. That gives the positive. So we are now consolidating that company.
So that is virtually all of the 130 positive impact on deferred tax.
That's right. Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Erik Granström from Carnegie. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Ja, god morgon. Jag hade bara några frågor. Det ena gällde det kanske det som Arvid sa. I'm sorry, I should probably take it in English, shouldn't I?
Yeah,
let's try that again. I had a few questions. My first one is regarding the comment that Arvid made regarding that you said that you had a closer cooperation with your external evaluators during the quarter. Could you elaborate a little bit of what that really means in terms of what you were looking at in terms of yield requirement for your properties in your portfolio?
Well, you can say that, I mean, we, as of calendar year end, the external valuer values each and every one of our properties and makes a full valuation. And they've not done a full valuation on each and every one of the properties for the Q2 report. But normally, during the Q1, Q2, Q3 reports, we do an internal valuation. In this case, or in this report, we've had a closer dialogue with the external valuers and basically had them apply the market yields which have been seen in the market or which have been affected by transactions seen in the market in order for us to better validate the value changes that we've seen during Q2.
Okay, so you're more or less saying that when external evaluators look at the external yields in the market, it seems that you're revising your values a little bit more than you would internally, because it's been a long time since I've seen 3.5% value change in a single quarter when obviously you had two major deals in Malmö?
I mean, the main reason is, of course, that we have had those deals and there's been approval in the market. The Malmö market is not so big, so not every quarter there is a good deal done. So even if there has been a compression in the yields over the past few quarters, we haven't been really had any approval of that before.
Okay, perfect. And then also, Anders, regarding the fact that you were, it seems to me you're talking a little more in sort of a in positive sentiment in terms of the rental market, in especially basically in Sweden. Does that mean if that rental market continues, do you expect yield requirements to continue to be under pressure for your kind of properties? Maybe perhaps especially in Malmö, but also in Helsingborg.
What's happening in the future is difficult to say regarding the yield compression, of course, because but I have a feeling that we have a yield compression all over the market, not only for the A-plus assets, also for the B and C, D type of assets. So it's a good time to get rid or divest that type of assets. On the rental market, yes, we expect to be positive going forward as well. It is a strong economy we have in the south, and a little bit weaker in Copenhagen, though, but we are optimistic on the rental side also in the Swedish cities.
Okay, and then my final question. You were talking about perhaps using this opportunity to divest some non-core assets, and we have seen some divestments which have been in part related to you having residential space, which is obviously not of any of your book operations. But going forward, would you consider divesting sort of single tenant properties, even though you do not have residentials in them, let's say warehouse or light industry or something like that?
We did sell one office building as well during this quarter that wasn't core, which was sold to Atrium, if you remember that. That was a deal on about 120, 130 million something. So we are divesting everything that is not core. But we will not divest any core assets, even if the prices are high.
Okay. All right. Perfect. Thank you. That was all for me. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Robert Woodman from Kempen Co. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yeah. Good morning, Robert Woodman, Kempen. One question concerning your changes in your portfolio. You have been a net seller, which is not seen that often. And you just mentioned that this is part of the strategy to sell off non-core properties because the underlying transaction market is extremely strong. Are you calling or are we being close to the peak of the cycle? Do you think that we have achieved, give or take, the highest values possible?
Hi, Rob. I think it's very difficult to say when you're reaching the peak. But we believe that making deals close to 4% is very expensive, especially if you don't see any further rental growth in that type of assets. Yes, I mean, we believe it's very expensive at the moment. Of course, therefore, we maybe try to concentrate even more on our developments instead, where we can make good profits ourselves.
Okay, that is clear. Then coming back on you stating that the market is getting expensive, does that also mean that you would potentially de-gear the balance sheet a bit more? Because in the end, we might be close to the peak of the cycle. And I understand that you can't call the peak, but are you becoming a bit more cautious here and thus de-gearing the balance sheet? Or put it differently, not gearing up on the back of your capital value growth?
I think if we see a good deal on a decent price, we will do it. I don't think that we are just reaching a peak now that we will see a drop in the near future. I think everyone is aware of the interest rate market where we are, and we will have very low interest rates also going forward. And since we believe and we feel that it's a rather strong rental market we are in, so I don't think there is a big risk on the levels that we have in our valuation at the moment. But yes, I believe that the
the markets today is strong. There's a lot of competition and all the good sales that are coming out in the market. So it is difficult to do it. But we are not changing our targets or anything because of the market.
Okay, that's clear. And perhaps one last question. Following Brexit, have you been talking to your debt financiers, and is there a change in attitude from them towards providing new lending to you?
Now, since we are working with the Swedish banks, and we haven't seen any negative reaction there so far, at least.
Okay, that's clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. And we have a question from the line of Niklas Höglund from Nordea. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yes, good morning. Niklas Höglund here. Just a couple of follow-ups, if I may. Firstly, if we can just start with sort of the bottom of the P&L on the comments on the old SFS, which you bought. Could you confirm that you have no positive one-off gains on the operating lines, which we saw in Fabege? All of it is done on the deferred tax.
Yeah, and I was a little bit quick there on answering to Jonas. Actually, there are, of course, positives also coming from the sales when we sell assets in companies. But most of it comes from the SFF.
But okay, Andrew, you're not talking about the effects on the deferred tax,
yes.
Right? And Niklas, you were asking about the if we had any effects on the operating profit.
Yeah, we saw 18 million in associated income from Fabege last Friday. So I was just thinking if you also had a similar positive impact in the operating income.
No, it's only on the tax.
Okay, and then going on to valuation again, a very, very strong number. And historically, we've seen sort of a delay from the transaction market and the external and internal valuators. Is it fair to say that these transactions now at these around 4 and 4.25 is fully reflected in your numbers and in your estimates, and in order to see further yield compression, we need to see even lower levels, or is it still fair to say that you have a good cushion towards these values?
As Arvid mentioned, we did have a negotiation or discussion with our appraisers before this quarter, and they believe that we are in the right line now with our valuation. But of course, it is also, as you say, the value is also lacking regarding the market, and it's difficult to say if the value have reached where the market is already, but it remains to be seen in the future.
Just to follow up, when we talk about A and then locations, it's fair. Those kind of values sounds very aggressive. How much is the spread now towards B and C locations in your view? Is it above 150? Basis points.
I would say if you talk about the offices in the B or at least the C location in Malmö, I think you can say that there we are around 6%. So it's so the spread is more than 100 base points. It's close to 200 base points in that case.
Yeah, and then a final question. You talked about the valuation yields on your projects started and the potential in the pipeline. But you left out the Hordaland, the sort of parking garage. Could you talk a little bit on the net yield you expect on that?
I mean, that is a parking garage, and if you measure that only as an standalone investment, I think we have a yield between 3.5% and 4%. But of course, you also have to bear in mind that you need to have these parkings to be able to fill up the offices. So the offices have to bear cost in the development as well.
Okay, so no immediate revaluation potential then from that investment.
There's no profit coming from there, yeah, that's right.
Okay, thank you. One more question.
Thank you, and as another reminder, if you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Okay, as there appear to be no further questions, I return the conference to you.
Thank you very much, everyone, and I will probably see most of you down in Båstad tomorrow, and you're most welcome. At the moment, actually, the sun is shining, but you never know the weather down here tomorrow. See you tomorrow, and if you have any other questions, please just call me. Thank you and goodbye.
Thank you. This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.